Hey guys, Liam Duggan here, captain of the 4WD podcast. We're driven by the Shelter Brewing Co. and are a part of Backchat Studios. You can support us on Patreon, where you can get bonus content and episodes before everybody else. Head to patreon.com/the4WD podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Righto, the 4WD podcast driven by Shelter. We made it through the entry there, Jaden. Thank you very much for your false start. Hopefully no one sees that because he can edit it up and leave it out. Unlike what me, who gets embarrassed.
Yeah. Sorry, what false start?
Yeah, exactly.
It was a start of my issue.
Was it?
I can confirm that.
Yeah, not enough choke.
No, it's everyone against me.
No, sorry. We're on your team.
We got audio issues over there too now. You can't hear it.
He's telling me to clap over here, over there, and then he can't even get the song right.
All right, come on, boys.
Hit play. That was the Southern River Band with Let It Ride that Jaden eventually got on for us. The socials, the 4WD podcast on Instagram, all their episodes over at Backchat's YouTube. And again, thank you to our patrons.
Yes, we are in double digits now.
We are in double digits. What are we at, Jaden?
You've got me on the spot there, but we're at 12.
Oh, 12.
Well, you've got to guess 11.
We're at 12.
We're going well, so appreciate that support. And if you do want to support us even more, jump over to patreon.com/the4WD podcast. We really do appreciate it, and we are growing in numbers, which is great to see.
Yes, soon we'll be 1,200.
We're talking about those double zeros early. We'll get there, though. How are we, fellas?
Good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, can't complain. Cannot complain. Jaden's... Can we release on here?
All right. Can we release the whistle?
Can we talk about who you met yesterday, or is that not allowed on this?
No, we can.
Will that be out by this?
Yeah, that'll be out. Yeah.
Yeah. So how'd you go yesterday, mate? Talk about what you did yesterday.
What I did yesterday.
Yeah.
It's not 4WD drive related.
No.
But yeah, it is quite good. Yeah. Met my childhood hero, Adam Gilchrist.
Awesome.
It was unreal. You know how they say never meet your heroes?
Yep.
Nah, absolutely. If you have the chance, if your hero is Adam Gilchrist and you have the chance to meet Adam Gilchrist, meet him because he is a great bloke.
That's awesome. I've only heard very, very good things. Are you familiar with Gilly's work?
Yep, Gilly. So I can see a glow from his rosy cheeks over there.
Yeah.
Big smiles.
You were copping a bit of stick, eh?
I was copping it a fair bit. But fair enough. Cares? Yeah, roll with the punches. Yeah. There's no insults or anything. It's just
I don't think you'd be alone.
I was nervous wreck, mate.
In your love for Adam Gilchrist, there'd be plenty of, especially our age. I reckon when I started to sort of really dive into cricket, that sort of like got the end of that era with Gilly and Warne and McGrath and all those.
Yeah,
you know those players.
Yeah, Brett Lee, Ricky Ponting, Justin Langer, like
JL. He was.
That's the era I'm familiar with. Beyond that, I don't know shit.
Nah, well, I wasn't around beyond that, so.
I mean out now. You've come forward.
You're Don Bradman era, like that whole Immortals lineup.
Well, he's getting back.
You better watch out. I'll get my walking frame. I'll be making my way over there. Hustle these cables in here.
Yeah, that's exciting though, Jaden. I do like that. I noticed you got the Australian cricket shorts on today too.
Yeah, that's actually just a coincidence. Comfortable shorts. I just feel like, you know, I'm a cricketer now.
I thought it might have been a gift.
Ah, no.
But no, you had
them. He did. He gave me a hat.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, from his podcast. And yeah.
Very good.
Great hat. Great man.
I'm happy for you, mate.
Every minute of it. It was amazing.
I have only heard good things. I look forward to having a listen to that pod.
Yeah, well, it'll be out by the time this is out. So
cool. So jump over.
Go and listen to it.
To Backchat Studios and have a listen to Gilly.
It's unreal.
See if you can hear Jade in the background.
he mentions my name a few times.
Oh, does he?
He does. He mentions my name a few times. I think at the very start, the boys are like, how are you, Gilly? Like, and he's like, yeah, good, good. Jaden, how are you?
That's good.
So he was in on it. He was making a bit of fun as well.
Nice.
Anyway. All right. Anyway, back to four-wheel driving.
Let's get back to four-wheel driving. And
I mean, that was on the radar.
That was on the radar. It was great on the radar. Yeah, it was on my radar and it was something I just went to off the cuff. Right, let's get to out on the radar. Now, we're going back to what we probably started this segment as was to have a look at the new cars on the market. And we sort of we branched out to just on the radar with new products, new cars, whatever it may be.
Is this on the run sheet?
Yes, this is. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
just, no, you wouldn't know, would you?
Yeah, just there. Electric Isuzu D-Max.
Ha ha.
What's funny? What is, what's the go? That this is coming out in 2026, mate, in Australia.
Is that legit?
Yeah. Jaden tells me that we can't be too sure when it's not actually out, but it's coming out in 2025 in Norway, mate. Over towards your
okay, yeah,
homeland.
Yeah. Okay, so Norway, yes, okay. It's, that makes sense. You just had me there because they're pulling out of Australia if the emission law come through.
Who?
Isuzu. Like as a
saying
passenger
this the other week.
Yeah. As a passenger vehicle, they're pulling out if those emission laws go through.
Right. So this is actually not planned. We did not know that Ronnie was coming back with this. So you don't think that this will actually be here if Isuzu and these NVSs get up?
Not if they're keeping their word. Like, right. I mean, okay, maybe they will, but then they're throwing a bluff at the government, hoping that they won't, you know,
right,
put the law through. That's what's been reported. So
yeah, okay.
And Toyota even said that made a statement that they would also stop making diesels.
Ooh.
Which yeah.
Well, this is not where I thought you were going to take this because
no,
I didn't expect you to have a lot on the new Isuzu Electric D-Max. But
well, I don't. I've got nothing on it. Well, it looks nice,
except that it's never going to be here.
No. But we could
it
always,
does look cool.
We could always do
it looks
like
very futuristic.
A Norwegian electric excursion, couldn't we?
We could do that. That would be
well. That's concept. That's
big budget stuff.
I think that's concept art.
Okay. Oh, is it?
Yeah, I don't think that's a. I don't know. It's got concept on the license plate down there.
Yeah, right.
So I'm assuming it's concept art.
It's a good pick.
Otherwise, it is just like it's a concept test vehicle. But to me, it looks like concept art.
Yeah.
For a concept, it doesn't look very concept-y.
You should see the other photos. There's a couple of other photos. Well, I didn't save them, but the other photos are very concept-y.
Okay.
Yeah, very, very much so. Concept-y. Like this is what we're talking.
So what's the idea behind this one? So is it full electric?
Full electric. It is, eh?
Yeah, full electric.
Yeah, so if we want to go through a few of the features, so 66.9 kilowatt lithium-ion battery, full-time 4x4, dual electric motor, which is giving you 130 kilowatts of power, 325 newton metres of torque, 1-ton payload and 3.5-ton braked towing capacity.
So
is some of the features.
Dual motor. So
dual.
And it's all-wheel drive all the time.
Constant,
yeah. It is four-wheel drive as well.
Yep.
I'm guessing it'll be a motor at the front and the back then.
There's the real concept. That's art.
Oh.
That is definitely art.
Yeah, someone just added some steroids to the photo.
Yeah. I don't know.
Those wheels are disgusting though.
It's a concept, mate.
I know,
it's
but
a concept.
That's not a full drive. Look at the wheels.
It's AI generated.
There's no tires. Well, AI sucks.
Well, it's not AI. It's made by Ogata or something.
Here you go. 40 kilowatt front and 90 kilowatt rear.
There you go.
Reduce the size of the rims and it goes from a 0.1 to a 10.
I love
those
talking
are, what
about
are they, 30-inch rims?
Anything to do with electric cars or these new vehicle efficiency standards and Ronnie just fires up, even at the appearance. But,
oh, wow, look at that. It's like the radiator stuff's around the middle.
So they're bringing, like this has been...
That's a big battery.
This has been proposed because of the new vehicle efficiency standards coming in. So this is a way that Isuzu are getting around that, but I find your point interesting if they are going to pull out of the Australian market because of their...
Because they've only got two cars.
They've only got the two cars. So I wonder if they'll pull those out but enter...
Maybe enter later.
Enter later in the electric.
Because if they're not coming out till 2026, yeah, maybe. But I don't think they're going to sell too well in Australia. Who's going to buy a ute that's full electric? I mean, you can only go so far.
If that's your only car that you're selling now in Australia, is it worth your while?
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know.
I'm not sold on electric cars unless you live in Europe.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You are sold on the hybrids, though.
On the hybrids, I am, yeah. Yeah. Because you can get petrol, you can keep going. But what they really should do is do a diesel hybrid. Instead of just cancelling all diesel, do a diesel hybrid.
Is there such thing, even in sort of SUVs and stuff like that? Is there a diesel, are there diesel hybrids? I'm RAV4s, are they? They'd be petrol.
They had some around, I know that, or they were tinkering with some.
Right.
I'm pretty sure Toyota might have been tinkering with some. But to give you a name of a car that actually had released one, I don't know.
Okay.
But that's what I reckon they should do.
Yep. Yep. So you don't think this has a place in the Australian market?
Nah. No electric vehicle has a place in the Australian market unless you live in Sydney.
Yeah, righto.
And you can't get out of the city.
Yeah. Perth, like even Perth City. Electric? I reckon you'd be all right.
Look, not for
what we're doing.
There's Teslas getting around. Yeah. Sure. Within the CBD, yeah. But if you go on to Geraldton or something, you're like... So I got some family live out in Cadoo, so Wongan Hills.
Yep.
They have a friend that has a full electric car. Don't ask which one it is. I'm assuming it's a Tesla or something. They drive from there to Perth and they can get there and then almost back.
Right.
But after their first trip, they needed a charge. Charging took forever.
Right, okay.
So it just made the trip way longer.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming if you almost get back... there's not a lot of options.
Well, not really, no. Out there. Yeah, and then if there's not a lot of options, you're basically sitting there just charging. Yeah. I was watching, one of the guys from Max Tracks, he's not there anymore, Paul, mate Paul, he was in America and he drove a Rivian.
Oh, yeah.
With a couple of guys. And this is actually a video on YouTube with this. And they had to pull in to charge the car because they were running low on fuel because they went and did a bit of off-roading and it cost more power than what they planned for.
Yep.
So they had to pull in and they were basically in the car for hours waiting for it to charge before they could keep going again. Yeah.
I like the look of the Rivian.
The Rivian is cool.
But, yeah, I don't want people to think that we're against electric cars because I think for what you're saying...
Well, we kind of are, but...
We are. With what we do, I am. Yeah, well, it's... We just don't see a place for them just yet in the four-wheel drive space.
Not yet.
Getting around the city, probably go for your life. Yeah. That's no worries. It's just what we are the four-wheel drive podcast, so we're just saying, don't know about the D-Max fully electric out in the bush.
No. I don't know. On a mine site, sure, because you can charge it there. They've got massive generators. Yep. You know, kind of defeats the purpose of electric in the first place, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. You could go so many different ways with the, you know.
Yeah.
I think
we're coming backwards. Like we're coming back from that, you know. Yeah. I don't know if I've mentioned this in a previous episode, but there was somewhere where they did some studies in Canada and they did this thing like if we have all electric vehicles by 2030 or something, we would need another 15 nuclear power plants to charge the cars.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's always – you got to give something to get something, don't you?
It's got to be like a gradual thing. Yeah. You can't just flick the switch.
Maybe there is just every second person. I don't know. There's got to be a balance, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Because it feels like the closer we get to it, the more you hear the other side of the argument coming back around, which is always the way.
It's because they all just go, nah, this is what we're doing because this is what's right. And then they just –
yeah.
Go down there and don't do all the research. Because it's because everyone cherry picks the stats to make things work so they get across the line. Now they're committed, now they've got to make it work.
It'll be interesting to see where it goes. And it's not going to happen quickly.
No.
So we'll be waiting a while to see the answers. But
I think we're waiting a long time.
Yeah. But anyway, on the D-Max.
On the D-Max.
Not sure how you'll go.
Cool.
Nice looking car though, if that's what you're going
to get. Yeah, it is nice. That's better than the other one. You can actually go somewhere on those tyres.
Yeah. No, concept, I don't mind the look.
Concept.
D-Max is a good. The D-Max is a good ute.
It's a good car.
The standard D-Max.
Great ute. I found some stuff from Isuzu, but they're threatening to leave the Australian market if the NVS goes through,
mm-hmm.
because they don't have enough time to they've openly admitted that they're going to fall well under the emission targets.
Oh, okay.
And they basically want they think the NVS proposal doesn't take into consideration the automotive technology development cycles. So whenever they get develop new technologies for their cars and stuff. They don't think that the proposal's taken that into account, and they think that it's going to negatively affect Australian consumers, which is what, I mean, we've said as much on this podcast before.
At the end of the day, that's what it's going to do. It's going to affect the consumer in the end, you know. Yeah, it'll affect the car manufacturer, but at the end of the day, it's going to affect the consumer because we all have to make changes ourselves, you know, or we have to pay up the extra costs.
Yeah.
You know, because if these companies do get fined, they're going to pass it on in their cars.
Yeah.
If they don't pass it on in their cars, they don't make a profit, and then the shareholders, they're not going to want to continue with that car. So that's just the way it works. You know?
Well, it's interesting because I've been doing a bit of research on the MVS, and it's in the proposal document, it's come up with that. It's basically saying that across everywhere, all the countries that the MVS is basically been introduced, they've seen no evidence of price hiking to cars.
Oh, right.
The prices of the cars that have been, you know, put under this haven't increased or anything. There's been no
Are they diesel engines though? That's the question. Because
this is what why we're doing all this research and stuff. This is just what it says in the proposal. There's other factors going on.
Yeah,
so.
And that's the thing. They're other cherry pick stats because we are going from a Euro 5 something to all the way to the 6D or whatever it is. Or maybe are we 6? I don't know. But we're doing a massive jump. We're jumping the entire gap, right? So there hasn't been a gradual phasing out of certain things. And this is Australia. This is a land of the diesel engines, you know. Land of vast distance.
I feel like that should be some sort of advertisement there.
You're land of the diesel engine.
Land of the diesel engine. Land of the D.
Oh.
Well,
only
Ronnie.
only producing 1% or less of the worldwide pollution. So the fuck alone.
I've got it here. Australia's 14th in the world.
Yeah.
Pardon
my French.
CO2 emissions.
I'm not happy about this.
We're 1.16%. China comes up with 29.18% of the world's CO2 emissions. US 14%, India 7%, Russia 4%, but Australia is 1.16%.
Can I just say that China are making stuff for every single country in the world, so I think that should get a hall pass. But USA, they're up there.
No hall pass.
Yeah,
just saying.
Yeah. I just love how fired up you get about this.
But then there's also 380,000 people so you factor all that in. Yes, okay.
Is that cool? Like, we're going to do a full episode on this, aren't we?
Oh, it sounds like
we might have to do a bloody four-parter on it, the way Ronnie gets up and about.
So let's stop this here.
Yep.
I had a senator send me an email which was alerted to me just before I came here. I will pass that email on to you, Jaden, because you're way more research on this topic than I am. I will need to do some research. So while I hook up my caravan again and head north, I will do some research at night. I'll get fired up in the caravan.
Yeah, we got an email as well. So
who's emailing us?
Oh, who emailed you?
I can't remember the name.
Yeah.
But people in high places. Really?
Is that WA senator or is it like a senator?
There's people.
People
have got a lot of thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Whether you're on the side for it or whether you're on the side against it, there's a lot of people with thoughts on it. Yeah. And we're still learning about all of this stuff anyway. Definitely. So it's not like we
don't even really know what we're talking
exactly
about.
Exactly right. So, yeah, there's more research.
I don't understand the words sometimes.
Yeah.
Like I'd generally just sit here and scroll on my laptop while Ronnie's talking about it. Have you got, let's finish on the radar and talking about electric stuff and I heard you had something for us.
Oh yeah. So I had to get this little beanie here, so it's kind of appropriate here, Australia.
Yeah.
So I came across this, it's a bit of a shameless plug here, guys.
A snake in it.
I'll just so I've done these patches boys. So whichever state you go to, you can get your piece, and then eventually, when you've been around the whole country, you have a map of Australia.
There you go.
And Victoria comes to Tasmania because it was just too small to produce.
That's yours, though. Good. Is that mine, is it?
That's yours.
Is it got to be? Thank you. Do I have to have driven my car there?
Well, what we can do in your case is you can remove them as you go there. No. It's just.
I like it. This is cool.
I mean, you've been to every state.
I have.
thought, you know.
Not in your car, though.
No, I haven't.
Have you driven a car in each state, though?
Yes.
There you go.
Maybe not the ACT, but that's inside New South Wales and you can't do anything about
it. It's kind of, it's an enclave, so it's
and
stuck in
I've been a passenger in Tasmania in a four-wheel drive.
Well, that more than qualifies for it.
Beautiful.
You're
it's not I want to
get this up. I want to get this up for the camera, but I won't be able to hold it all together.
I've got it on the, mate. Just flip it around.
Oh, yeah, just
so that it's...
Do a spinner.
It's good stuff. I like that.
So it's just, where can we find these, Ronnie? It's all the states and territories pieced together.
Where can you find... Oh, you can find it on our website, fourwheelingaustralia.com. And Jaden, so I don't leave you out, mate. Here's a 76 for you, mate.
That's nice. Very good nice. Colours.
So we'll pop that here for now.
Can I have a look at that?
Show it to this camera over here.
Yep.
Or that one.
This one. How are you?
There you go.
Wow.
Now, I've actually got a 79, 78 and a 76.
Yeah. Of these, same colours. Yeah. These are cool. I like these. I've got a good collection.
If you don't give that to me now, I wouldn't have got it.
There you go, mate. I'd wait till I bought one. Like I bought the one stone armrest before I even bought a Land Cruiser.
I like these.
I wonder how many people buy stuff in a car before. You know, tell us so we can hear it over the next.
I love the colour. Yeah. Is this you? You made this?
Yeah.
Oh, this is cool. 76 series.
I like it. It's going straight on the roof.
Yeah.
Co-designed by myself and Jono.
Jono.
Wow.
Great man.
It's not actually a 76 series patch. Just for people listening, it's a patch that has 76 and then series written on it.
It's a 76 series patch.
Yeah, it is, but it's not a 76 series.
It's official.
Like car.
Nah, it's official, mate.
No, you can't get it at Toyota. You can only get it at Four Wheeling Australia.
It's a non-official official patch.
It's definitely an official patch.
It's a different font, so I'm not going
to
get sued.
Speaking of 76, now let's move on to the main... Jeez, we've only just got to the main topic.
It's a great segue.
Good segue, but just for a good reminder that we're right behind time.
Let's talk about diesel.
Let's go back to diesels. Now, we want a little update on the 76. How are things going? What's the most recent little modifications? It's been a few weeks since we've touched base on it. How's it looking?
It's looking mighty good, mate.
It does. I tell you what, when I pulled up that next to it, it is looking mighty good.
Did you notice what had just happened recently? So that's before, right?
Is that concept?
It's the concept of the flying car.
That's concept.
Bit of a different,
bit
of a different shine.
That is wrapped in what's called stealth PPF, so paint protection film.
Yep,
got it done at Mad Ink there in Perth. Nick, the owner of this place, wicked fella. I've actually known him for a long time through Hilux Forum, but it'd been like a massive gap. I haven't spoken to him. He wrapped PDP, Trav's car.
Oh, yeah,
300. Yep. So he wrapped that in stealth, and that's like graphite, and that graphite car looks sick in his wrap.
Yep.
So I went there to test out this this wrap, and there's gloss, and then there's stealth. But he never had the experience of what I'm like when I go test stuff.
Right.
And look... I'm pretty hard on my gear. I'll put my hand up and say that, yes. But when I get something like a panel, this is a Ranger panel. He got it painted Sandy Torp, so it was exactly the same as my car. And then he wrapped one half in gloss, one half in stealth. And when someone gives me that and says, you can test this as much as you like, well, it got tested.
On one door?
No, it was just like the front quarter panel.
Oh, yeah.
So I took it to the grass tree at the front, just ran it through that, and then up against like a fence, you know, like a wire fence, and didn't think that was enough. So I started putting it on the coarse road, and this road base was coarse. You know that old road base that the rock's actually coming out. It's almost like gravel, but it's tarmac.
Yeah, yeah.
Scratching on that, and we took it inside, and then we sort of pulled the paint protection film off, and I mean, it had gone through, but who the hell is going to gravel rash their car? But minor bits had gone through where you could just, there was one slice you could fill up with a bit of paint and you could then rewrap it and it'll be fine.
Yeah, right.
But that's the whole point. There was one section that didn't have PPF on it because we pulled it off after the first test round. That was absolutely just stuffed. Yeah.
Was he impressed a little bit with the results? Why was he a little bit like, well, actually, this is good stuff?
Go back and watch the video when it gets to the point where we go into the post-mortem analysis, right? I grabbed this. You know those tie down buckles? They got like a cam buckle thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I swung it 3 times on the gloss, and then on the stealth, and then on the paint, just to see if it'll make a dent. If it helped prevent dents. And in the background, Jono swung the camera on him, and just caught him. He was like, it was priceless. The expression he did, and I didn't know because I was just focused on what I was doing. And Matthias, one of the guys who did all the rap, he was like, fuck, I didn't expect that. So it was,
sounds
it was,
like you had a lot of fun.
Yeah, oh, I had heaps of fun. But once he saw what I'd put it through, because he was pretty confident about it. Like when he first showed me, he put a wire brush on his M3 BMW. He's just a wire brush on. I'm like, man, we got a test panel. You don't have to do it in your car.
He's that confident in
it. Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
And then he gets a heat gun out and you can see it heal. So it's self-healing
just that rap. Quickly?
Yeah.
In front of your eyes?
Yep, in front of my eyes. It was like within a couple of seconds, it had self-healed.
And is that like, if you just leave it outside, it's going to do that as well?
It'll take half an hour on a hot day.
Really?
On a hot day, half an hour, he said. On a normal like mild day like today, probably 2 hours maybe or 1 hour. Depends on it. If it was a black car, it'll be a lot quicker.
Yeah, right.
But that's a pretty light car. So the paint hasn't, the colour hasn't changed, but what it's done is it's taken all the gloss out, pardon me, and you can see how all the lines are more definitive.
It looks sharp. Like the it looks like the whole car, like in its entirety, just looks like a sharp vehicle.
It does, yeah. And you can see the like that reflection on the bonnet. It's not like a mirror reflection.
Yeah.
You can tell by the glass that's mirroring, but that isn't. So in different types of light, it looks unreal. That was the morning after. So I took it out in the sunrise. And got the light on it. And then if the other side, which I'm not sure I gave you a photo of, but where it's in shade, it looks different again. So
yeah, right.
It's really cool. I'm going to have a lot of fun taking photos and vision of it. I face that towards the sun though.
It's
what is it, can't see?
What's it like to touch?
It's quite... So the gloss is really sticky, like, but that is really smooth. And the thing is, when you scratch... The stealth, the reason why I chose the stealth was because you can't see the scratch. So I was scratching it with a wire brush and I couldn't see it. I had to get my phone out and put a light on it and then put my head right down near it and I go, oh yeah, there's the scratch.
Yeah, right.
So it's going to be very hard to scratch that. And even if we did key it as well. So I keyed it and then I did different pressures.
Did you shoot at it?
No, I haven't shot at it, no.
But that's about the only thing you've got left to do, I reckon.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to stop that, though.
A couple of bullet holes just reflected off it.
Yeah.
Superman.
It's about the length that you've gone to.
Yeah, if I did that, I'd probably hit the window anyway. Yeah. Anyway, but...
That's looking tough.
No, it's good stuff. And, on 35s, on a rather large lift, just to make sure they fit, I did that just for show to see how it all work. And my plan was to put it back to a stock lift and move the car on. But I'm not going to wrap a car that I'm not going to keep. So the week where I decided to keep the car, I went and reached out to Nick at Mad Inc. And from there we discussed and we ended up getting it like that.
Yep.
So I'm keeping the car.
Yeah, so this is
it's
big,
official.
This keeping is the big it. News. This 76 2.8 litre will be part of the Ronnie Dale fleet.
The fleet.
It stays in the fleet.
It'll stay in the fleet, yes.
And so that means that one goes.
Yes, it does mean that one goes.
So where have you landed with this?
I'm undecided.
Still undecided.
I'm still undecided. Let's just not touch on this one for too long because I don't like talking about this.
It's a sad time.
Well, one's sentimental. It's 11 years. The other one is practical, almost 3 years. I need the Troopy to travel around Australia because that's ready, set, go. I don't want to put too much weight on this car. I want to keep this as a nice light.
Yep.
And that's why with the 79, I stripped it right back and it's just tray.
Yep.
So that's, I don't know. So it makes sense to... move the 79, but that's the hardest one to move.
Yep.
Both my kids have gotten really upset with me when I was floating the idea of getting rid of it. One told me to bugger off, in other words, and the other started crying.
Wow.
So it's and still now it's a touchy subject. So I don't know. I don't know.
When do you need to make this decision by?
Probably pretty soon.
Okay.
Yeah. Probably pretty soon.
I actually don't know what to tell you.
Because there's something else that you know about that's coming soon.
Yeah.
Which, ooh, you know, that's coming
soon. I feel like we keep doing this to each other and we've done this throughout the entire pod.
I know.
Past few weeks. Sorry.
So, listeners. Look, I promise in the next episode, we will reveal what's coming.
Patreons may get it first.
What's that?
Patreons may get it first.
Yeah. So, Patreons will tell today.
Okay.
Everyone else will find out.
This will be good. I can't wait to hear that when the patrons hear it because I'm just need to make sure it's actually what I think it is.
Yeah, because I think you might have forgotten what it is. Yeah.
Ah, shit.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. But look, on 35s, mate, it's so surprising.
Someone was asking me that question just the other day. It was Geordie, who down at BCF in Osborne Park, good mate of mine, works at the footy club as well. He reckons that him and I could go and own that shop together because we know I'm in there so often and he obviously knows how to run the joint. He was asking what you thought, on the 30, because I actually don't know if we've really touched on that whole, because you've had it on 35s for a while now. So how's it handling?
So look, 35s, the voice beyond, wanted to talk about this subject in previous episodes, but I wanted more time with it.
Yep.
To really dissect it. And there is one thing that sucks about it, but everything else is pretty epic. It honestly, it still feels like you're driving a car around. It doesn't feel like a burden. It handles it fine. Of course, there's a little bit of lag, but not much.
Yep.
And the worst part that I'll just touch on is going downhill first gear low. It is just faster than second gear low on a V8 downhill.
Oh, okay.
If you don't touch the brakes. Yep. Now, if you use downhill assist, which is absolutely useless, right? Remember, I was talking about that in a previous episode. Downhill assist sucks. Well, turns out in 35s, it reacts much quicker because it needs to react to something that's rolling at a certain momentum or speed, right? With the 35s, it does it instantly. So it kicks in. So you don't have that like, oh, is it going to do anything? It goes in straight away and it sits in between first gear low and second gear low on a 70 series V8.
Okay.
So it's manageable.
Yep.
Not the best, but it's manageable.
So maybe a little bit off when you're towing, you might be getting a bit more of that. Not that you're towing off-road.
Well, that's the other thing, right? But when you're towing, you put it into haul mode. But obviously, if you're in low range, you can't choose haul mode, right?
Okay.
So, so if you're towing in the Victorian High Country, not sure how that would go.
Yep.
However, downhill assist activates the brakes. That'll send a signal to the trailer, so everything will be braking.
Yep.
And I quizzed my engineer. I got a contact at Toyota engineer guy who I sometimes fire texts between.
Yep.
It's nothing official or anything. It's just a guy I know.
Yep.
And he was explaining to me that downhill assist, because I was like, does it work with the gears or anything? Doesn't. Downhill assist is strictly brakes. But what he said was, like, engineers just explain stuff the best, like the most clearest way, right?
Yeah.
He's basically saying, well, it's like if you had four pedals, but you don't have 4 feet, and you can control each one at the right time, and and you've got an eye on each wheel, so you know when to do it.
Yeah.
That's what the system's doing for you.
Yeah, okay.
So
that's cool.
To get brake fade would be a lot more before you get brake fade. But then in saying that, Victorian High Country, it is so damn steep that even in the troopy, I had to use the brakes quite often.
Yeah, right.
You know, you let it go for a bit and then you're on the brakes. Then you let it go for a bit and you're on the brakes. And that's just the nature of the steepness. But the in-between steepness is where the V8's just going to have it.
Cruise over it, yep.
But you can always change the diff ratio, but I don't want to do that. It's fine.
Yep.
Towing a caravan up north, I will change the tyres back to 33s, and that's just for practicality.
Yep.
I still have yet to tow it with 35s up that hill, but I've towed with 35s. And interestingly enough, in high range, in the haul mode, and that's something I've got to ask the engineer guy as well, is something weird going in the haul mode. I reckon when you are coasting down a hill – it actually uses the gears to slow you down. It's weird, eh? It's like it senses you're going.
Right.
I've never, yeah.
It's so like reckon, working in reverse to what hall mode actually is, kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's a favorable thing to use because it gears back to help you slow down. It's like in a manual where you gear down.
Yeah.
You know, using engine compression. It does that in hall mode, which is cool. Yeah.
So you can hit, because I know you worry with your experience with the Hilux was putting 35s on it, not being able to get to 60.
Oh, the 33s.
Oh, was that only with 33s?
Yeah, yeah. So here's the thing, right?
So it's catching six, no worries. Yeah. On the 35s.
It's catching six from about 95, 97. It'll get to six gear.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. When we were out there testing, Trav was testing in his V8 and was just going to different things. If you are on and off the throttle like we were, getting six gear is difficult. And I thought, oh, we can't get six gear. But then we went into the servo and we took off on a second run and one, two, three, four, five, six gear straight away. But it's because I just drove up to it. So then we figured that, okay, so you can accelerate hard, but as soon as you take your foot off and then go back on, it'll go down, it'll upshift, and it'll be in six gear. And then even going uphill with giving it a bit, it still stays in six gear.
Right.
It just holds the gears a bit longer than other automatics that I'm used to.
Yep.
It feels rougher because it holds it longer, so you get that, you know, you can feel those little vibrations stuff. Like it's like, it feels like it doesn't like it, but I think they just do that in other cars so they feel more comfortable. The 70, they just make it so it drives.
Yep.
So that's my take on the car. Like it does really well on 35s. That's not to say you should be driving on 35s, but it does really well on 35s. Yep.
Now, what's the plan with you? Because there's still no bar and you've still got the standard Toyota snorkel there as well. There are two things that I noticed straight up. Have you got any more updates on those plans?
So with the snorkel, I'll likely just pull it apart and Sikaflex it because it's really easy to get to. The reason why I've done it on previous vehicles is because it's so hard to get in there. But because they've done this really, what do you say, rough extension of the guards and that, you can so easily get in there.
Right.
It's the most easiest thing to remove. So I like the look of the factory snorkel.
Yep.
So I'm likely going to glue it together with Sikaflex.
Yep.
And that'll, And I'll just test it with a bag on the snorkel.
Yeah, righto.
And just have someone ready to turn the car off.
And then with your bar, have you seen anything yet that you like?
No, I'm seeing nothing yet I like.
All right.
Yeah. One company in particular I thought would bring out a really nice looking bar because the previous 70 they got a really nice looking bar for. I don't think they did a nice job on the new one. Preference, didn't like it. There's only three bars out that I know of.
Yeah, right.
Who are the
other two?
So I'll just name all three. To have a bar out. ARB has a bar out. You have Off-Road Animal, and you have I forgot what the other one's called. It's ADM, AMD or something.
Right.
Yeah. That's probably the better looking one, but it's I still don't really like it.
Okay.
So with a bar on the car, yes, the main purpose of it is to protect your car.
Yep.
But if it doesn't look nice, I mean, that car, I think the car looks really nice.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
the look's grown on me. And so I haven't put a bar on it yet. But I probably should have one because I'm going to be towing like almost 3 ton. Heading north, leaving at 4 a.m. So I'm gonna have to put some spotlights on that car.
Can you pull up the photo again, please, Jaden, if that's all right, of the front? And I just want to. I also want to make note of the workshop at is it Mad Ink?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That looked very neat.
Oh yes.
Was that where the photo was taken of?
Yeah. Oh man, when I drove in there, I was like,
look at that.
My car does not belong there. Like you can't see everything else, but in there there was a green BMW, there's a Lotus Elise, there was a Camaro, there was a 300 series, I think. Maybe it was a 200. No, 300.
Looks like it should have kitchen.
Two Ineos in there right now, you can't see in there.
Right.
They only do two cars a week.
Really?
That's how much detail goes. That took 5 days.
Wow.
It's a big job. They have to pull every single thing off the car.
So anyway, this is... Nice shot. But what's going, like, where are your lights? What's going on?
Well, I'm thinking about just doing a crude drill through that bumper.
Yeah.
Put two lights there so I can see things before I hit them because I've got no protection.
Yep.
And then having almost free time behind me, I need to be able to stop. And then I'll likely put some lights on the roof.
Yep.
I've got my own brackets made so they can sit up there.
Yep.
So I've got some stuff sitting at home. I just quickly bought some stuff.
Yeah, right.
That's ready to go. I've just got to put it on.
Yep.
Yeah. I went to Super Cheap Auto, believe it or not, and bought my lights.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Pretty decent though. They got some decent stuff there. They've got cheap stuff and they got good stuff.
What's the how do you know the good stuff from the cheap stuff?
Well, I'm testing out the good stuff, so I don't want to comment on that until I've tested it out. But I'm pretty confident.
It's just the price, I'm assuming you can tell which one's the good stuff and the cheaper stuff.
Well, yeah.
Or is there different brands?
Yeah. There's different brands. Right. There's different brands, yeah.
In Super Cheap.
In Super Cheap, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, Supercheap have their own as well, and you know, it's just an affordable light, you know.
Yeah.
The thing is, at the end of the day, if you're just going through the bush and you just need to see in the bush, any cheap light will do. If you're on a highway and you actually want to avoid animal strikes and you want to see a kilometre up ahead, despite what a lot of people say, I don't need to see a kilometre up ahead. Well, mate, you do if there's a herd of cattle on the road, I tell you.
Yeah, and you're towing.
Well, particularly if you're towing, but even if you're not towing, it's just good to see because you got tunnel vision at night, and if your lights don't reach far enough, it can actually be you're actually be worse off sometimes because you get what's referred to as a ball of death. There's a ball of light in front of you, and you can't see past the light because now your eyes have adjusted to the light.
Yeah.
So if your light doesn't illuminate far enough, now it's going to be harder to see what's beyond the light. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. Which means that if your ball of light is 400 meters and something is appearing about 600 meters up ahead, you may need more than 400 meters to stop or react to it.
I think you just sold me a light bar that I'm going to put on my roof, mainly for looks, but also for the ball of death. No, I feel like it would look.
You need good distance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. All right. Well, I know you don't want to touch on it too much. It's a bit of a touchy subject, but we won't go on it for too long.
Which one would you buy?
Oh, out of your two cars?
Yeah.
Probably the Troopy. Yeah. But only because I'm a bit different. Everyone knows my thoughts on it. But that's what I want to get. Like, what is it that come... Like, what do you... come down to on this decision? What's it going to be in the end, do you think, that sways you either way? Like, is it going to be the connection piece or is it going to be the practicality?
It's a logic thing, isn't it?
Yeah, like, are you going gut or are you going heart?
Well, that's the thing. It's logic or heart. And I don't know, mate. I can't answer
You're
that.
You're stuck on it, aren't you?
I'm stuck on it. I am stuck on it. Look, I might be leaning slightly more to one way than the other, but I'm not going to say if it's logic or heart.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't know, because I don't want to sit here and say, yeah, definitely this one, and then next week, sorry, guys, it was the other one.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Yeah. I wonder if there's like, and don't you don't need to tell us, but it's funny what the mind does and which way, like... You will be able to make the decision sort of thing.
The more we're talking about it, the more I'm leaning towards this decision. But yeah, let's move on.
Let's move on. Hey, I reckon we can almost go to around the fire pit, Jade. I reckon I don't want to prod Ronnie too much on the...
Ooh. Oh, actually.
All right.
Ooh.
Quickly put the fire
There's a spark.
No.
He's twittered it all. Start it back up. Crank it back up.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, mate. My fire's dead now.
Yeah, it's out.
That's it. You've killed it.
All right. Let's go to around the fire pit. Ooh, Jaden's losing his mic. It's all happening back there.
Oh, there it is.
The time of the show. Where
crank it up.
Crank it up.
Because it was a cool morning this morning.
It was cool. It's nice, actually. I actually got out this morning and thought, be a beautiful morning to wake up at a campsite.
Yes. I thought the same thing.
With that temperature.
Yeah. And, I had the aircon cranking last night too. I woke up and I was bloody cold. I'm so cold, eh?
It's still bloody hot in Perth though. This time of year, like it's been a hot summer.
Yeah,
Perth. It's not summer anymore, but it's hot.
Perth's interesting. You get that period where it's this hot morning, during the day, it's just almost unbearable to a point if you're outside. And then the evening is awesome. Walk your dog.
Yeah.
Up till 10 o'clock at night.
But the house doesn't. The house doesn't cool down. Like I'm in an old house, and it doesn't cool down that well.
Yeah.
But then in
the Fremantle sort of dock doesn't reach your house.
Doesn't quite get through there. No. Yeah. But that's all right.
Yeah.
Got a roof over my head, and so I'm grateful for that. So, start the fire back up. Sorry, mate.
I didn't realize it went out.
It went out. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't realize it went out.
It was a cold one.
My bad.
I don't think I went Apologies. To where I was going to go to with what I was just saying. But anyway.
It was a cold morning.
It was a cold morning.
It was a cold morning. Could have done with the fire pit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is, we can almost light a fire now.
Yes.
Can we already?
Whoa. Depending on where you are.
We covered this, didn't we? Yeah, getting excited about that.
Depending on where you are.
Just a little can, just a little
yes.
one.
Yes, yes. A lot of places, 1st of April.
Yeah.
But there's also a handful of places that are halfway through March, and that's research. Where we are now.
Anyway, ask some questions, Jaden. I'll shut my laptop.
We got,
or make some statements. I don't mind.
Statements or... We'll start with this one. It's a big email. And it's come in from a guy called Andy Martin. Mate, what are you...
looks good, actually.
For anyone listening, he's just put on the Australian beanie that he's needs
he
used
pulled his,
to...
That he pulled his...
He pulled his map of Australia out of.
Oh, I thought it was very appropriate.
I mean...
yeah, it was very
Mate, if you're cold, I can turn the aircon off.
He's cold.
I might have a jar of Vegemite in there if you're hungry.
Oh, wow. all right, big email coming in from Andy Martin.
Big
at, Expert Electrical Contractors. And this is to do with an episode that we released a few weeks ago, Duggo, our 12
Andy,
volts.
Andy's from Expert
Electrical, Contractors.
He's from there.
He's the director.
What state is he from in Australia?
Not sure.
Okay, well, I was just going to point it out.
I would assume WA. He's a Perth boy.
Ah, wicked.
Ah, yeah, yeah. The big wah.
The big wah.
That's the big
give
wah.
Give him a WA. All right. Fuck, it takes us a while to get into stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
All right, so he says, loves the podcast, obviously. Thank you. Thank you. Who doesn't Thank love you. The podcast? It's a great podcast.
That's true.
No, please give us feedback. I've attached some images of my BT50 Ranger behind seat power station for your info as Duggo, you have an almost identical vehicle. It can be done very well. It's taken him a few attempts, but I think I've nailed it. Unfortunately, without the center seat belt, it becomes a four-seater, which is just easy reinstall if required, he says.
Okay.
He recently upgraded his 2012... I'm going to read this from our perspective instead of his.
Yep.
If I keep saying I'm just going to...
Okay.
Recently upgraded from a 2012 BT50 to a 2019 BT50. Found one for 14,000 Ks. Very good. Very, very good. And he redesigned the electrical... Every electrical thing in it as it was having a charging issue. He's run a battery on it and been gasless since 2018 and did a full rebuild. He capacity tested the cells and only lost 4 amp hours in 5 years. He runs a fridge for beer for his shelters 24/7. Yeah, and nice. When he goes away, it cops a beating, pulls about 160 to 180 amps. Watching the episode, he says it was awesome, and Enerdrive have a good PDF on cable size and volt drops.
Right.
So he's given us a link to that.
Yep.
That's an important one.
And he's got a full rundown on his electrical specs. So he's got a 270 amp hour, 3.3 kilowatt prismatic cell, 12.8 volt DC battery, one DALI 4S BMS. Ronnie, that might make sense to you.
That's the big wire, I'm guessing.
Two Victron 30-amp DC-DC chargers. And he also runs them manually from switches in the front and around town keep solar panels, keep the battery topped up so they're not required. Right. On tracks, he's got 75 amps of charge. He's got a Victron 500-amp shunt, a Victron 100 over 20 MPPT solar charge controller, 250-watt solar panel on the roof, plus an Anderson plug for a blanket. One 3 kilowatt inverter, and the total mass of the vehicle with 150 liters of diesel, 40 liters of water, awning, and everything else is 2,960 kilos.
Wow.
Cost him $3,500 for the gear and a lot of hours and swear words to complete. He says it worked so well that he built a battery for the house, so they're off grid on the house.
Oh,
holy shit!
Wow,
yep.
Where does he fit all this stuff,
mate? So he's bought a 13.2 kilowatt battery for the house and now he's off grid. So his electrical awesome. System in the back of his BT50
I feel like
worked
we should go to Andy's
so
house
well.
And do a, yeah. That's it. Do a podcast. Yeah.
He says, yeah, he's around 60, still swag it, but they've bought a caravan now. So Ronnie, he's part of your crew.
Hey. I don't own a caravan. This is my second time.
He's a caravaner just like you, mate. Oh, and he's got big plans for it.
Have we got We've got some photos.
Sorry, I can't read and switch at the same time. All right. But this is his setup. So this is his 300 watt.
Wow, right. Oh, that's battery okay, in
the
back.
I figured it'd be something like that along the wall. Otherwise,
that's
huge block
so
in the back.
I think that's the right side.
Is he? So he says he's off gas, right? So
yes.
Is he cooking on like induction or something?
Not sure.
I didn't hear that mentioned.
No,
he'd
sorry.
Be able to.
Yes, but this is his. That's his rear setup. So it's just just a flat tray bed with some. What would you call that? A
drawer.
Drawer system
canopy?
On the back.
It's like a
yeah,
half,
drawer
it's like
and
a,
canopy on the back.
Yeah, actually, it might be a full canopy because
could be a full canopy. Lights. Could be a three-quarter canopy. So you've got your spare tires on the back. Love the look of those.
Any more shots of the electrical?
That is yes, that is an that impressive is setup.
Oh, so he's got yeah.
Those are the switches and the stuff.
I'm guessing he would have got that signed off by Sparky. You have to do that with them once anyway.
Well, I mean,
I'm sure
he's
he did.
The electric, he's the director, so I'm
assuming. Well, I'm sure he's probably signed it off himself.
I think I might just take my car to that. Andy.
Yeah, mate, that's actually
that is a neat setup.
Not
that
a bad awesome. Shout.
I'm starting to think maybe I've gone a bit under.
Is that better?
So
he's well. This is $3,500 for the gear. And then he's done all this himself.
Mm. Yeah.
There'd be a lot of weight and wires in this system. Like this is for what you want.
Yeah.
This is like...
This is an unreal... Like, right. This is an unreal setup.
I just like how Andy goes about it, though. That's why I'm...
Well, he's, you know...
He said it.
If the world ends, we'll just plug into...
Go to Andy's house.
Plug into Andy.
Yeah.
Andy's car.
He's also left, for the record, and this is, you know, obviously four-wheel drivers here and... Has nothing to do with anything, but he just says go Eagles and fuck the Pies. and that he's a Perth boy. So
nice.
Yeah.
Well, I like Andy.
Big fan of Andy.
Andy's handy at the
work.
Big
fan of Andy's setup. This is great.
No, that's impressive. I appreciate that coming through. Gives me confidence though, like because I don't obviously not going to do anything near this, but I've just been chatting about what I'm actually going to do
but,
like before I came here. And I'm definitely it can work.
This is a good thing to look at though. I would do what Andy's done, but just with the gear that you're putting in.
Oh yeah,
because you've got up against the back wall, but you'd only need like half that space.
Yeah, I only need one side.
Yeah,
yeah,
and then you'd be able to cover that, and then you'd still be able to have drawers in if you wanted to in your tub because you just make them stop before the battery. And you've got a skinny battery now?
Yep.
Yeah. So most drawer systems won't go all the way to the back anyway. That'll be the way to go. See those tracks there?
Yeah.
That is the best way of doing it because then you're hiding
keeps everything
the
nice
mess.
And neat.
Because it's very hard to make cables neat. And he's done a
it's done a
good
very
job
at, good job on it.
At making it very neat.
The director.
Mate, I mean...
Maybe we just refer to Andy as the director.
Andy is now the director.
I feel like that's just a good name for a bloke that does this sort of work.
Yeah. Well, expert electrical contractors.
Happy
to shout that out.
I'm going to have a look at
that
later. That
looks like very good work, so...
Thanks, Andy. That is wicked.
Yeah.
And was that a 2012 BT50?
29. So he had a 2012 BT50.
Oh, yeah, upgraded
to a 2019 BT50.
And he found that one with 14,000
Ks.
I was originally thinking that he found a 2012 BT50
with 14,000
in 2019 with 14,000 Ks.
He upgraded to a 2019 BT50.
Gotcha. Yep.
And he redesigned the electricals inside it as charging was an issue apparently.
Yep. Which is what I ran into a bit.
It's
cool.
He says his lovely wife works on the theory that if we have sufficient power, it must be used.
Oh, yeah.
So absolute power pig, he says.
So hair dry, hair strap.
Yeah, I was featuring that. I was featuring some of that.
Yeah.
Or just some of the best feeds you've ever eaten on a campsite.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we haven't
like
seen
Andy's
it.
Out
we haven't
there
seen Andy's hair. I mean...
maybe he's got luscious locks.
You might have a...
Yeah, that's cool.
Good hair.
I got like a great picture of the director in my head.
Andy, send in a selfie or something, mate. Give us a look at you.
Yeah, I'm picturing a couple of band-aids on your fingers after that job.
Mate, yeah.
Yeah, that's good work.
He says a lot of swear words.
Yep.
Isn't it always though?
We've got another one from...
You know, when you... Sorry, but you know, when you... how many times you go tell the missus, yeah, I've just got to do this at the car, 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Three hours later.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you're at the shop looking for a bolt that you snapped or something.
Yeah.
Drill it back out.
They always come out at the worst time as well, like right after you fucked something. Messed something up.
Lauren comes out and always says, what could you possibly be doing now?
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm actually doing nothing. It's just my hobby. I just tinker.
Yeah. So I'm just standing here looking at the car. I just really like it. Done it for the last 6 hours. Just really enjoy standing.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Righto. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you, director. This one from Tilly the Dingo. I just thought this was a really, really great message. G'day, fellas. Dingo. Just wondering if Charlie Dixon and Ronnie Dale are related. Two Vikings.
Charlie Dixon.
There he is. Played against him on a few weeks ago.
Ah, yes.
He's a great forward.
He's a car dude.
He
has a garage.
Yeah, he's right what's into it, his. What's it called? I want to say he's right into his. Not like. I don't want to get this. I will get this wrong, but like muscle cars, race cars.
Yeah, he's got a podcast called Driving with Dixon.
Oh yeah.
And
he's right into it. I've seen that a couple of years ago.
It's called Chuck's Garage.
Oh, yeah.
CHUX.
Yeah,
but he does a bunch of interviews.
Is
and
that
stuff.
Your cousin?
Is that your cousin? Your cousin's with him?
Oh, it's my biggest cousin.
He's huge.
Give us the pose that he's doing there, mate. give us the raw.
Oh, no.
He's just trying to grab a football
that's
and
not
it's
Charlie
gone.
That's not you're not his cousin, mate.
We figured that out.
Good fella by all reports.
Yeah. He was actually on Backchat.
Oh, yeah?
Great podcast.
Yeah, right.
Great podcast. One of the best. Even if you don't like footy too much, it's just mental health and all that kind of stuff.
He's
obviously been through it. Great podcast.
Yeah, right. Very good.
Speaking of footy, you can see why I don't play.
Picked up that.
Yeah, that was not
you've kicked it right.
That wasn't a Chris Judd pickup, was it?
Really does that.
No. We got one more.
Sweet.
We'll try and get into it. Burning_fuel WA. Why are beadlocks illegal and frowned upon?
Beadlocks are legal.
They're not.
I don't know why beadlocks are illegal because, like, it's helping keep your tire on, so I don't see why they should be illegal. But there are some beadlocks that you supposedly can get legal, and they're the internal beadlocks. So I've got some on my play tires, on my Trepidors. I've got beadlocks inside it. So it's a Kevlar sleeve. It's a nightmare for tire fitters to put on because it sucks to put it on. And it's like an inner tube. So you can run your tires at 0 PSI if need be. But generally you go down to 5 or down to 10. You can just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And they won't come off because the Kevlar sleeve inside. And even if you shred your tire, you can still drive on your Kevlar sleeve.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's pretty crazy. Supposedly, they say on their website that you can get them to run legally on the road. But they're a nightmare to balance. And I've only got them on my treps just so I can go right down and use them to their full potential.
There you go. I didn't even know they were illegal.
But the beadlocks he's talking about are the ones that, you know, you've got that clip on the outside.
Yeah,
that goes all around the bead and you're like a million bolts, yeah.
Yeah.
External beadlockers.
External beadlockers, yeah. But they only do the outside, not the inside.
Well, the internal beadlockers, some cars come with internal beadlockers. I can't remember which ones they are, but it might be a Jeep or a...
You mean on the inside of the wheel?
Yeah, they come with internal beadlockers.
Yeah, because there's internal inside the tyre.
Yeah, and then there's external beadlocks.
Yeah, then it's external on the outside, external on the inside. But I haven't seen external on the inside.
The internal, external inside. The internal on the inside ones, some cars come with them.
Okay.
And they're okay in inverted commas, that because they don't, you're not like... Like the external ones, you clamp a piece of metal around the outside of the tire,
yes,
and it's considered like a modification or something like that. So they're
has been
frowned upon
with engineering,
illegal, all that kind of stuff. So it's like, but the internal ones go As far as I remember, they go onto a plate already that's like something that's already there.
Yeah.
So it's not as...
Or they never see them, so that's why they get past.
Yeah, that's another one. I mean, could be anything. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because it could very well could be, but that's yeah. what I remember from...
Generally speaking,
a bit of research.
If a car comes out with something like that from factory, then it's just going to be legal, because otherwise they wouldn't release the car in the first place. For example, the Troopy that came out with a 10-seater. The minute you remove those seats and you register it as a 2-seater or a 4-seater, you can't go back to the 10-seater.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's weird.
There's not many around with the 10 seats in them.
No, I pulled all mine out.
I did find one, though, not long ago. I found a Troopy.
Car sales?
Yep. For $64,000. It's a 2017 GXL with 90,000 Ks on the clock.
Can't be mine then. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, imagine that was. You just stripped it. Thought? It's just the standard. It's got a bull bar and scrub bars and that's it.
Yeah. Well, how many Ks?
95.
That's pretty good. That's
2017 GXL. It's going for 65.
Look, I paid 77 for my Troopy and it had done 77,000 Ks.
Yeah, right.
I paid a dollar a kilometre for mine.
That's
actually not bad. Yes.
Lauren actually told me I should go and get it.
Well, there you go. Lauren knows what she's talking about.
But now I'm playing around with the ute and having a lot of fun, so.
So Mr. Car Sales, who I ask about pricing, got told to go buy.
Yeah, I know.
I think maybe he's the apprentice car sales.
I'll find this for you when we're done, because I'm not quite up to scratch.
The grasshopper.
Yeah.
All right.
Shit, sounds like she's learned a lot from you.
Well, Lauren is all over the price of Troopies. Don't worry about that.
Yeah? She wants a Troopy.
Well, she wants one.
No, she just hears it from me.
Oh, no. You plan
to see. I think she does. She likes it, mate.
The car sales girl.
She only wants a Sandy Torp, though, if I go a 70 series.
Fair enough.
So yeah. I'll just take Ronnie's.
Like, fair enough. He'll just buy Ronnie's when he sells his 78.
I'll buy that one, but I'll get it wrapped in stealth Sandy Talk.
Yeah, you have to.
I have to paint it first, but.
Well, you can just get the wrap. And look, I actually had wrap. I think I told you guys that. You had a green wrap. I bought some green wrap.
Oh, yeah. So where's that now?
It's still in my workshop.
Jaden, have a go, Jaden.
I bought $1,400 worth of wrap because Jono knows how to wrap with normal wrap, and I got cold feet because I did some photoshopping putting the colour into the car, and I was just like, nah, I don't know. Like the colour. It looks too military. So, yeah. It's
that sort of green?
Darker.
Darker, okay.
Bit of an army green.
The blacks were getting lost.
Sorry. Through that.
Is that the one from Adelaide?
Yeah, it is actually.
Wow.
Still going strong.
Still going.
Is there a laptop in there?
No,
it's in front of him, mate.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
yours is in there.
Ronnie's laptop. Where's the laptop? Oh, the other...
Run sheets. That's why...
Yeah, you did have it out before.
We did, just because we're still on the fire pit.
Yeah, because Jaden wanted some photos.
I did. Oh. I did want some photos.
And I didn't even look at a run sheet.
And you were here very early today, Ronnie.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
so you were doing a bit of work as well.
Hooking into it.
Yeah, he's just...
Burger.
Oh yeah!
Fuck, we've lost it here right now.
What have you got? Quick.
Lost it. There was some feedback on your.
It's a good burger. Sorry,
he's hungry again.
Because you got your tub.
Yeah,
you've had your tub now lined with Raptor.
Yep.
There was some feedback on that because you were talking about it in the episode that's just come out, the 12-volt one, talking about doing it. Obviously, you've done it now. There was some talk about being careful doing that because it can rip the stuff that you put in your tray.
Whether it be boxes, yep.
anything like that. Yeah. Not just fabric, but like hard plastic and that kind of stuff as well. There was probably a bit that like people have had some issues doing that.
That's good to know.
It's just something that to keep in mind. You've already done yours, but
well, I'll probably lay something down on the bottom because it's probably a little bit unfair to the dogs that rip their skin off when they're laying on the poor boys. But
I've never had Raptor lining, but I've had Linex and I've had the Rhino liner, and they're all a little bit different. But yeah, I don't know the courses, but I haven't really had a problem.
You fuel up my car when we go out there, and I'll fuel up yours because I need to feel the stealth.
Yeah, yeah.
And you touch
mine. Just going to be feeling up each other's cars.
Yeah.
That's my poor 76 is just in a parking lot. I saw it down there. Getting felt up.
I saw it down there. Wow. Looks good though.
It's totally acceptable to fill each other's cars up.
Let's wrap this up so people can get on with their days. Let's
wrap this up.
Oh,
Ronnie, you've done it again.
What's that mean? That's Ronnie. All right. Zay, do your punchline again.
What my punchline? Let's raptor it up.
Let's raptor it up. I like it. All right. We're going to get going. You good? Anything else? He wants another burger. All right, the 4Drive Podcast, driven by Shelter the Music by Southern Riverman. To see us out, we'd Let It Ride. 4Drive Podcast on Instagram. All our episodes over on Backchat's YouTube. And patrons, thank you for your support. See you next time.
Toodaloo and goodbye, V8.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.